Hello, and welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. A great series on motivation in challenging times gets underway today with our special guest, certified professional speaker and attitude expert Matt Booth, who is joined by Birchwood production manager Jamie Hunley and Jason Pooley, PIC's supply chain manager.
My name is Matt Booth. It's great to be here. I live in Dubuque, Iowa. I grew up on a small farm in southwest Wisconsin. I am a professional attitude speaker and coach, and a big portion of my clients are in the ag industry.
Very good. Jamie, you're next.
My name is Jamie Hundley. I'm production general manager at Birchwood Genetics. Been with the company for 28 years, so pretty much have spent my whole career here. I oversee three boar studs for PIC, one in West Manchester, Ohio, one in Adrian, Michigan, and one in Scottsville, Kentucky. Combined, we have about 2,100 boars.
Good morning. My name is Jason Pooley. I'm the regional supply chain manager for PIC in the East and Canada. So I interact with a lot of our multiplier partners and farms all over the Eastern Seaboard in Canada. I've been with PIC for 3 years. It started in August of 2016, and prior to that, had worked for another large integrator for 20 years, overseeing all the production in a genetic nucleus system.
Gentlemen, as we start this conversation, obviously, we are in a situation unexpected very recently, even 3-4 months ago, that anything like this would happen. But I really want to look at it more when those challenges come. In the stock market, people have said, you know, I've never been through anything like this, and yet we kind of did the same thing in 2008, and we kind of did the same thing in 2001. The challenges that you see in motivating people in your industry, what were some of the causes that you have seen in your term, not just looking at this month, but looking at times when it's been difficult to get people up, get them to work, and get them to function in a manner which is at the level of expertise that we expect?
I think in a time of crisis or in a time of opportunity when you've got a lot of things going on, it always gives us an opportunity to kind of take a step back and reassess how things are and organize ourselves. People tend to be a little bit concerned. They have a lot of questions. They want to understand direction. So I think it's pretty important to be open and honest and talk about those things that are going on that are maybe inhibiting our ability to do our jobs and our normal routine, and try to establish some actions that give people purpose around what they're doing and understanding how they're dealing with whatever the crisis at hand might be.
So these are conversations with staff. These are things that perhaps it may have had more to do with activities related to their job, and now we're talking more about activities related to being engaged. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we try to spend a lot of time focusing around in our meetings or in our reviews on the activities that we need to do to function. And I think this just needs to be incorporated into it. And you give the staff an opportunity to talk and share their thoughts and feelings, because there's a lot of good ideas out there from them as well that you can pull back.
Any other thoughts on that?
Well, very similar to what Jason said, the communication part is very key. During times of crisis, like here recently, we have been having weekly update meetings with all the employees, encouraging them to ask questions, discussing what's going on in the industry, just trying to keep them informed, and continuing to try to give positive feedback, even in these challenging times, being thankful that we are working in an industry where we're helping feed the world, that we do still have a job to come to and do each day, and how critical that is.
Do you think that has changed in the current situation from before, meaning the ability to get people to come because they know they're feeding the world? Is that still a primary motivator for our workforce?
for some more than others. I think those employees that you really have a lot of passion for what they do, I think they keep that in mind all the time. But you do also get employees that maybe have external stressors outside of work with what's going on right now. A lot of people are stressed about the economy, about the concern of potentially, you know, getting COVID-19 or a family member. So we've got to make sure at the same time we're trying to address concerns that they have, not just at work, but outside work, and just continue to encourage them.
This is a question maybe for Matt. Outside the agriculture industry, how does that viewpoint differ from what we're talking about here in our barns?
I really think people in the ag industry or outside, people in general, are motivated in two ways. We want to move towards good things, towards pleasure, and we want to move away from pain. And we're certainly experiencing different amounts of pain right now, depending on who you are and where you are. What I always love to talk about in this type of situation, whether it was 08 and 09, or 2001, or in the mid-80s when I was a kid and we lost our farm. I mean, I always think of this. Right now we're in the same, everybody's in the same storm. People like to say we're all in the same boat, but that's not really true. We're not all in the same boat. We're all in the same storm, but not the same boat. Everybody's boat is extremely different. My boat with my family, we have 10 and 8-year-old boys that are staying at home with us. And my wife is in a rock band, so she's at home with us. We're in one boat. Now, our neighbor across the street is in a completely different boat. They're still going to work. They're still getting paychecks, where my wife and I, you know, essentially we've been shut off because of what we do. So everybody's in the same storm. We're all not in the same boat. Some people's boats are running on fumes, and they didn't know if the Easter Bunny was going to bring anything on Easter Sunday. And some people were just trying to figure out how much stuff they could put in a basket and how they were going to get out and go to Target to buy stuff for the basket. So we're all in different boats. So people in general, for motivation, we're trying to move towards the good things, and we try to move away from the pain.
You bring up an interesting point as we talk about the comparisons, and you guys on the production end of things. Tell me about conversations you've had with non-farmers, with those outside the industry, and the kinds of questions they're asking.
That's a great question. I was thinking about that as Matt was speaking. Situations like this provide opportunities for a lot of dialogue, and many of my friends and neighbors and friends on social media are, you know, they're posting things and asking questions. And, you know, it's always interesting when people return from the grocery store and there's not enough meat on the counter, they start to wonder why. And so that's when I start getting a lot of questions. And I think it provides an opportunity for us to talk about what we do and get people a little bit more connected to the industry, be it pork, the pork industry, or the beef industry, or the egg industry. Back to Matt's point around the boats, all these different farmers in these different industries are in that same storm, but in different boats and dealing with different things. But it provides us an opportunity to have good dialogue and communication and talk about our industry and get people better connected to what's going on and how it's affecting us and our livelihoods, farmers, our production workers. You know, they're going through those same type of questions from their friends. They've got stressors at work. They're dealing with kids being out of school and at home, and they're worried about their jobs and being able to manage that. There's a lot of things that are going on there that allow us to have those conversations and talk about what we do and educate people around the protein industry.
Let's talk about getting people in the barns. Everything's locked down, and of course we've got this kind of convoluted unemployment payment thing going on. I hear restaurants saying, well, I won't have any workers until July or August, but Well, first off, what's your situation? How short-staffed are we today?
I don't think that we're terribly short-staffed. You know, we always have a portion of turnover in any production farm. The workforce on these farms today is probably a lot different than it used to be. A lot of times we're hiring people that are maybe less connected to agriculture than some of our previous employees. There's people that are trying out new things and getting used to new environments that haven't been exposed to before. You know, I'm a perfect example. I didn't grow up on a farm. I didn't grow up in a farming community. However, I have found a pretty rewarding career working in this industry. Back to one of the points earlier, you know, you get a passion for what you're doing and you find people that enjoy doing it. And so, you know, the challenge for us is to always continue to go out and identify potential workers and get them into the farms and working and familiar with the processes and ultimately shoot to have long-term employees that will be working on these farms for a long time.
But when we talk about finding people, now it's a matter of enticing them, of causing them to want to be a part of this, and then building them through a growth period of it not being just about the check, but it being about the purpose, the job. Are there steps that you have identified, that you have seen, that help us with that we can take them from, I'm here because I need a paycheck, to, hey, I'm doing something important?
I think you're always going to be faced with the challenge of people that are there for a paycheck. You know, it's always harder to try to motivate people beyond that if that's their singular goal. Oftentimes, as I'm interviewing candidates or talking through what it is we do, I'm trying to identify people that might have a little bit of a spark for something for that. And it's from that spark that you're able to then grow and foster some other motivations that give people value in working in it. You know, there are people that enjoy working with animals. There are people that enjoy the lifestyle of working in farms and farming environments. There are people that take a lot of pride in working in an industry that feeds the nation. You have to find what those trigger points are and try to work those to the advantage of both the employee in a growth standpoint and a motivation standpoint. And then ultimately, I think it's clear to have frequent conversations with those employees and stay connected to them, understand where they're thinking they're going, as well as giving them milestones to work towards in their growth of their career. I mean, that's the difference, I think, in my mind, is the difference of a job and a career, and that's where I'd like to see people get to.
Yeah, I really like what you said there, Jason. It's to be able to identify that. I really think people are motivated in two types of ways. So we talked about the pleasure and the pain, move towards pleasure and away from pain, but you have people who are self-motivated. These are the people that buy into the purpose and we're feeding the world, and that gives them great satisfaction. And that's the source of power to them. They get up in the morning, they have no problem putting on their clothes when it's cold outside and heading there, because in their hearts, they're on a mission. They have a purpose. They're helping a piece of that feed the world. And the reality is we're always going to have others who are externally motivated. They want to know what's in it for me. Maybe it's a paycheck. You know, maybe they need a pat on the back. Maybe they need a trophy. Maybe they need a ribbon. Even when they come in fourth place, you know, people are motivated externally, and that's okay. You know, we're always going to have those people who are just working for a paycheck. It reminds me of a story. I worked with a transmission company. They sold refurbished, rebuilt transmissions, and I was working with their salespeople, and we were doing a goal and a purpose type training. And there was one guy sitting in the training. He didn't care. He didn't have any goals. He didn't care about any of that. He wanted to collect a paycheck. So what you have to do is you have to dig down and say, okay, why do you want a paycheck? What do you do with your paycheck? And so we kept digging in with this guy, and he was a tough nut to crack. And he said, you know, all I really want to do is my wife and I want to put new windows in our house because we love being at home. This is what we need. We need new windows. See, and if you dig in and you find out what motivates somebody, which for this guy, it was windows, which sounds kind of strange. then you can find out how to motivate him. So the sales manager and I talked after this, and he goes, I don't know what I should do with this guy. All he gives a crap about is windows. And I said, what do you mean what to do with him? This is perfect. You know, he told you what motivates him. You don't have to figure it out. He told you. It's simple. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, here's what you have to do. You have to tie his sales, his commission, somehow, with him getting new windows in his house, because he can't make that jump on his own. And the sales manager and the owner got together, and for every so many transmissions that he sold, equaled one new window in his house. And the owner of the company knew a guy down the road who does remodeling. And so every time he hit this short goal, this dude went home, and over the weekend, somebody would come and put one new window in his house. And they'd be sitting in his house, and his wife would be happy, and she'd be so excited. And then the family's happy, and the kids are happy. So it's digging down and finding out, you know, sure, they're motivated by a paycheck. Maybe that's all you think. But what do they do with that paycheck? Because to some people, it's just a job. And I know professional speakers, you know, and I'm more of the self-motivated type where I feel like I was meant to do this. And that's what gets me up in the morning, and that's what gets me going, and that's why I leave my family and come and jump on an airplane and risk getting sick because I'm self-motivated. But I also know some people in this industry are doing it because they're getting a really, really, really good paycheck, and that's why they're doing it. That's why they're getting on an airplane. Okay, then you have to find out, okay, what do you do with this paycheck? Why is this so important to you? Then when you start asking questions, you find out what really motivates them, because they get this paycheck. They want to put all their kids through school, or they get this paycheck and they give a bunch of it to a service club or a charity. So then you can start to find out what motivates them. And a lot of people will say, I got to do something. It's a good paycheck. Helps feed, you know, so find out what that is. And then you can find out how to motivate others.
Joining us on The Squeal for this first episode on motivation in challenging times was Matt Booth, along with PIC's Jamie Hunley and Jason Pooley. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.